Hey, America!
Start listening now.
Yeah. It's lighter than usual. You know, guys, Danny usually wrote the cold opens, so we don't have a cold open. So 12 points. Yeah. And welcome to another Danny-less episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision Song Podcast Codcast from...
Not so easy, is it?
No. From America, the country where, when I was a young boy, my father took me into the city to see a marching band. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
And I'm Sam. I guess I'm the last one now, so
yeah,
I have to be the wacky one. Me, wacky?
Yeah.
In case... I do nominate Sam for wackiness.
In the event that you only listen to all but the last, like, 5 minutes of our last show, first of all, what are you doing? Second of all, Danny is... he'll be around. He hasn't, like, left in a huff or anything. He's just taking a step back from, like, full-time involvement on the show. So we are going to try and be as wacky as we can in his stead. That won't backfire at all, I'm sure. But
I mean, one of us is just going to have to periodically yell Slovenia and like pine for Ukusiviste. Like, I'm sure we can fill this gap.
Well, I'll be
right?
pining. I got that. I dibs on that.
That's you dibs on the pining.
Get ready. By the way, because it's gonna be here before we know it. The ESC 250 vote is coming, and this is the year where I swear to God we're gonna get the lucky one onto it. So. Just keep that in the back of your head. Make sure you give it a few points when the time comes. And in the meantime, please enjoy the soothing sounds of 12 Points from America, the show that is good in all ways. Sam, hit him. Let him know how people can get a hold of us and let them know their plans for voting for the lucky one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. May as well get this this plan down the road, you know, a couple months in advance. Why not? But you can find us and chat about plans on all of these social standard media outlets at 12pointsUSA, or just email us directly at 12pointsofamerica@gmail.com. Derek. You son of... For the record, I'm trying to read my script. I look out of the corner of my eye, I see the live feed, and Derek just takes a tiny TARDIS across the front of his screen, just floating in front, and I'm like, okay, I'm done for. Anyway, yes, you can find us on all the standard social media outlets at 12pointsUSA. Or just email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. You can find our merchandise on our Redbubble page, or you can support us with a one-off contribution on our Ko-fi account, that's Ko-fi, or a sustained, repeated monthly donation on our Patreon. Whether you support us financially or not, we love and appreciate you either way, but Patreon supporters do get exclusive content and early access to episodes. Danny's Yay. Not even here, and we're already going wacky. All right, got it.
Who would have thought he was the glue? Now we know. Just send him a note like, man, that we need you. Oh, God.
This show has changed.
Yeah.
It's all right. Let the man have a summer vacation. He will be back. Actually, he'll be joining us again in our next episode, which may as well be a great little segue into the little project that we've been doing with other members of the Eurovision podcast community. We are doing a summer Eurovision pod crawl. We've kind of alluded to it on past episodes. We've already heard our friends at ESC Insight covering France 1959. Basically, the theme of these shows is the first time that a nation hosted the contest. We're doing a look back at some of these retro contests. So like I said, Insight was covering France 1959. Our friends over at the Wind Machine podcast over in Australia, they covered the first time Austria hosted back in 1976. EuroWhat has a fantastic episode out there where they go into the depths of the Yugoslav hosted entry from 1990, all sorts of cool political intrigue going on there. And our friends Neil Points are talking about Latvia in 2003. Our next episode is going to be our turn, where we'll be talking about Belgium 1987. And I've never been so excited about Belgium in my life. It's a crazy contest, some great songs. Cannot wait for you to join us. After we have our episodes, I believe that that Eurovision site, I mean, I'm not just being generic, they're called that Eurovision site. They're going to be talking about Denmark back in 1964, and Deuce Poin will be hosting a chat about Azerbaijan in 2012. We try to do one per decade. It's a great series, easy to roll back if you haven't listened to any of these before. It's just a wonderful way to sort of lift up our fellow podcasters in this community. It's a great, great group of folks. So excited to share our contribution next week. But in the meantime, we have our episode today. We're still in the sort of quiet season right now. There's not really a lot of news when it comes to the big contest. We don't know where we're heading yet. Supposedly that news will come out sometime in August.
I assume since we're recording today, it's going to come out tomorrow.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We're very good at jinxing
ourselves. So you're welcome, everyone. For whatever cool thing happens tomorrow.
Looking forward to seeing you all in Vienna again.
By you saying that, it's absolutely going to be Innsbruck now. You've just netted this.
If you netted this, I swear to God.
If I had that power.
I want to go to Vienna.
Honestly, I've been to both. They are lovely, lovely cities. Vienna's just a little bit easier.
Yeah, just logistically, it seems like... Like you pick Innsbruck if you want a challenge, and some people do, but I don't think this is a time when you need to be doing that. Because yeah, the logistics of getting to Vienna are just so much better. That's easy for me as an outsider to say. I mean, who knows? But we'll find out tomorrow when they announce that it's Graz from the top rope. Just out of nowhere, with a steel chair.
Co-hosted in Vaduz. Nobody was expecting that coming. Liechtenstein in with a vengeance.
Hell yeah. I would be down. I would be totally down for that.
Same.
Derek, you had mentioned this in one of our last shows that like we were 100% sure it was Glasgow.
Oh yeah.
Until it wasn't. We saw that video and we're like, oh no, it's...
Yeah.
Glasgow mailed this the hell in, and I can see why. But then Liverpool was like, "Ah, yes, we are the most idyllic, perfect place for Eurovision. Here's 40 reasons why." And also, remember when that gal was on Bake Off? She's here too.
Oh,
why can't I remember her name? We ran into her.
You did, yeah. I wasn't there.
Yeah, what's her name?
I can see her face. Lizzie? I can't think of Lizzie? It. Lizzie.
Yeah.
I think it was Lizzie. Yeah. We did all think it was Glasgow until that video came out and I started crying and it was so good.
That video is crazy.
They put on a hell of a show. But yeah, unfortunately, we're not seeing these intro videos. We're not seeing these pitches from Vienna and Innsbruck. So I don't know. It could just be a very plain kind of PowerPoint presentation from the pair of these, but who knows?
Very Austrian thing to do.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I would be genuinely shocked if it wasn't Vienna, just based on ease of access and whatnot.
Yeah.
Although I do see they might reconsider it just because we were there 10 years ago.
Yeah, but I mean, we were in Malmo within, 10 years of each other, 11 years, so...
Yeah, but they also won like three different times.
I know.
Yeah. They rotated Malmö out and then back in.
Yep.
Or whatever. Yeah.
It came back in the rotation.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, my prediction for 2026, way to go, Sweden, hosting in 2027. Let's jinx everything while we're at it.
Oh, please. Mm. Yeah. We really don't have much in the way of Eurovision news right now other than just waiting. Supposedly there are some whispers and rumors about Kazakhstan having a conversation with somebody that maybe they're in the running to potentially enter, but I will believe it when I see it. The fact that they took a step back from junior makes me wonder if this is in the running, but...
That info is coming from Kazakhstan, right? Like, that's their perspective of how that conversation went?
I believe.
Okay. And I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying, like... Consider the source. I don't know.
Yeah. I would love to see it, but at the same time, I mean, it'd
be super cool.
It would be. Yeah. We have a little bit more news when it comes to Junior Eurovision. We have a confirmed singer from Portugal. Inês Gonçalves will be representing Portugal at Junior after winning this season of The Voice Kids. Interestingly enough, she is the first act representing Portugal Jr., who was actually from Portugal since 2021. Because we had an act born in Brazil, and then we had an American, and then last year the Portuguese singer was born in Venezuela and then moved to Portugal as a kid. So yeah.
And then last year the Portuguese singer was a space alien.
But she came in second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Good.
Yeah. Also in junior news, we know that the songs for Ukraine's junior Eurovision selection will be spearheaded and written by Aliona Aliona, which is a really fabulous and interesting choice.
Sick. Are they all going to be rap songs then?
Oh man, that's going to be really interesting.
Down.
Very excited to see what those turn out to be, because I feel like Ukraine at Junior, they tend to do really well-produced, really well-created and crafted songs for the kids. So,
really professional.
Very, very, very. Yeah. Speaking of songs, the songs that are in the running for the Netherlands have been released. There are four of them this year. It's one female soloist, one female duet, one female trio, and then a five-part boy band. All these songs are available to stream or to listen to
sounds
as you
like
wish.
Them.
Yep. And they'll pick their song and their singer.
I was waiting for you to say a four-part female group. That's just like one, two,
a five-part
three,
female group. A six-part female group. Or it's like Fibonacci. There's a one.
Just gets exponentially larger.
So after that, there's an eight-piece group and then a 13-piece group. And it's something
and
the EBU
the
calls and is like,
Portugal.
You have to stop. You know you can't do this.
And then they, you know, slowly but surely, like, fill up the entire arena just full of Dutch children and then the entire country and then the world. This is how the Netherlands take over the planet.
Let's see. Wait, we've also got. Oh no, that was it.
Yeah, that was basically it. Like I said, it's slow season. There's nothing really going on.
Yeah.
But the big thing that we do have, which is going to be our topic of the day, the OGAE Second Chance Contest. They have unleashed this year's class of also rams. It's going to be hosted by OGAE Italy after Annalisa's win last year with Sinceramente, an absolute bot that I'm still listening to. I believe this is OGAE Luxembourg's first time participating, and we've got a pretty solid list of acts.
Wait a minute, Sam. I've never heard of this before. What is the OGAE Second Chance Contest?
I feel like we've asked this question before, but I know that not everybody has listened to all of our episodes, in which case, shame! But we still love you. But yes, the OGAE is the official fan club of the Eurovision Song Contest. There are chapters all over Europe and technically all over the world, and they have been active since 1984, and every single year they have all sorts of sort of side events and side contests. There's an OGAE fan poll that they do every year before the contest where they, you know, fans from every chapter try to predict who's going to win. This year they predicted Sweden was going to win, followed by Austria. So, yeah, close. But one of their marquee events is what they call the Second Chance Contest, in which every national chapter that had a national final picks a song that came in second or lower, and they all kind of have the also-rans run up together. So this year, I believe there are 25?
Yes, 25.
25.
Can we circle back to that OGAE poll for just a second? Because
sure.
I find it fascinating.
Absolutely.
I'll just note that this poll used to, for as long as they've been doing it, we're off to a pretty good start in terms of predicting who was going to win. That really has not been the case for a while. They correctly predicted Euphoria in 2012 and only Teared Ups in 2023. Since then, they have correctly predicted the winner only two times.
Hmm.
One was Tattoo. That was an easy one.
Yeah.
you know what the other one was?
Well, I'm looking at the list, so I
know. Oh, yeah. Derek, do you know what the other one was?
Rise Like a Phoenix.
No, they picked Undo My Sad that year. Yeah, of course they did. They also picked that year Same Heart, finished third. That didn't even qualify, which is kind of wild.
Yeah.
No, they correctly picked Toy to win that year.
Okay.
Which, and it was a big favorite.
It
makes sense. Here are some other things they picked to win. Grande Amore. Sure. They had Jay Cherche, which I wish had won. Occidentalis Karma, sure. Soldi, makes sense. In 2020, the winner was On Fire by The Roop.
If I remember, that year was very close. I seem to remember that OGAE were really rather crowded at the top between Lithuania and Iceland that year.
Yep. So Think About Things was second, and then third was Repondez-moi. I still think the better of the two Gudjon songs. They picked Jim McCass in 2021. Oops. They had Hold Me Closer by
Cornelia Jacobs
in 2022. They did pick Tattoo. They picked Rim Tim Tagi Dim last year. And fair enough. But yeah, this is not the predictor it once was, I guess.
It's a pretty solid fan favorite kind of a...
It's a solid predictor of like the televote.
Oftentimes, yeah. And keep in mind, these are often, I mean, not often, they're always voted on before we even see stagings.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole big thing. We don't know running orders off the time, you know. Very little information other than just sound and vibes.
Yeah. Perhaps unsurprisingly, Fuego does not show up on this. I think nobody saw that coming until it was on stage. So good measure of that. 1944, an eventual winner. No. Amar Pelosh Deutsch didn't sniff the top of this thing, and you know how that turned out. Yeah, that's right. It didn't sniff anything.
Yeah, so the Second Chance contest, it's a lot of fun. And honestly, again, during this quiet time of year, it's a fun way to kind of have a little bit of a friendly competition, a little bit of engagement with these chapters. Because like I said, every chapter from every nation will submit a song and then they will all vote. So it's just a nice little off-season thing. We've had some really solid songs over the last couple of years win this. Sinceramente, like I said last year, Marcus and Flarkus the year before. Monument by Kaino won in 2021. Il Nome di Prima di Te, like Annalisa is actually a two-time winner of this. So she won there. Cool Me Down by Margaret, which is definitely a fun one. A Million Years by Mariette. Ooh, Fatti Avanti Amore really by Neck. Too. Yeah.
Oh, I love Neck. Sorry, what? Yeah.
No, I'm just saying there's some... I actually do really love that song. We make fun of his name, but no. Fatti Avanti Amore.
You heard it here first. Sam loves Neck.
Loves Neck.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, some really... really fun songs in this list. And so yeah, this year we've got our roster. Interestingly enough, like I mentioned, there's a chapter that represents people who are coming from countries that don't participate at Eurovision. It's the OGAE rest of the world. And they have the liberty of choosing a song from a national final coming from a country that doesn't have an OGAE chapter of its own. So this year they picked a song from San Marino. However, they also would have had the opportunity if Georgia had had a national final, if Moldova had frickin' taken part, if Montenegro had had a national final, if Slovakia was taking part, they could pick from any of those. Actually, I'm really curious if any of Moldova's songs would have been available to OGAE rest of the world.
That was my next question.
Because we knew what they
were.
Would
they have included it?
They had, like, the initial rounds of the competition. They just decided to not do the final.
Right. But, like, Carnival Brain, Semafuare was an absolute bop. Or they could have just tugged on the heartstrings and had everybody's favorite Tutor Bumbach.
Oh, man. Are we sure they didn't consider it?
I don't know.
We know they picked they picked San Marino... the Albanian singer from San Marino.
Yeah, that's it.
But do we know what else was in the running?
I don't know. I'm not part of OGAE. Yeah, that would have been
Why
a really...
Why not? I don't know. Sorry.
The fees.
Anyway, let's go down the list. Like we said, OGAE Rest of the World was picked a song from San Marino. That's Tiki by Bessa, which came in sixth in the San Marinese National Final. OGAE Greece picked Sirens by Barbs, which came in third. Lithuania picked their runner-up, Droba by Lion Cheka. Sweden picked fourth place On and On and On by Clara Hammarström. Stebi Jak for Iceland was Set Me Free, their runner-up. Anne Marlen with Kulm in third place in Estonia for them. The runner-up in Serbia, Aladdin by Harem Girls. Interestingly, Ireland picked Growth by Nile, which was their fourth placer. Mentissa Desolée, representing Belgium, was their third place. Lelek, The Soul of My Soul, fourth place for Croatia. Je Danse by Luzak, representing Luxembourg, was their third place this year. For Norway, it was Nataline and The Game, which was their runner-up. Denmark's Adel II and The Unluckiest Boy Alive in third place. Moscana, Nothing Can Stop Love for Germany, also their third place. Poland picked Svoda and Nichos with Lusterka, which was their runner-up. Heaven Sent by Christy Spiteri for Malta, also the runner-up. Josh for Portugal with the song Tristeza, fifth place. Runner-up, even though tied for runner-up, basically. Heartbeat by Emilia, representing Latvia. July Jones, New Religion for Slovenia, also second place. Second place in Ukraine, Melodi's My Sea. Second place in Albania, Elvana Gjata, well known to Eurovision fans, song Carnival. Georgia will be representing Italy with La Cura Per Me, which was sixth place, did not make the super final in Sanremo, but the Italian fans selected this one. For Armenia, it's Ai Papare Bai by Simon, second place. Finland, Made Of by Goldilocks, also the runner-up. And finally, for Spain, Jake Bello with the song VIP, which is their third place. If you do not know these songs, hop onto YouTube, hop onto your music streaming platform of choice, give them all a listen. I'd be very curious to see what our audience thinks of the list, what their favorites were. Were there any songs, guys, that stood out to you as not being a selected song? Like any other also-rans that you wanted to honor in this moment?
Like you wouldn't believe.
I mean, I wasn't, I actually was not as engaged with national finals this year as I normally was. Just, I had work and all sorts of crazy stuff going on, and it wasn't quite as connected. So what were some standouts to you that I and other people may have missed?
I want to shout out, I'm going to shout out three songs. Mm-hmm. I could shout out more. I'm going to limit myself because I have a thing to do later. Otherwise, I would just be talking forever about some of these. So, several of my favorite songs from this entire cycle all probably would have made my top five at Eurovision if they'd made it. And that's, I don't mean that as like a condemnation of the quality of this year. This year was fine. But there were some songs I just really loved and was really rooting for. And they just, and that's how these things go, right? Like, it, yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't like things. It only leads to bad stuff happening. Just don't like anything. That's my lesson. First one is Armageddon by Minimal Wind, which is, I want to say, Estonia.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a song that builds so incredibly well, and it's a sort of a indie pop rock sound that I really like. I really thought this one had a shot. It was just a really cool song. And they've tried out before. This is not a new name to the Estilal circuit. But this really seemed like their best shot. Live performances were kind of... There's sort of an ethereal vibe to the studio recording that's hard to recreate in a live setting. And I think they suffered for that, so it didn't make it. From Lithuania, Ishal Duma by Petunia. It has almost Trent Reznor-esque beats at certain points, like modern day film soundtrack Trent Reznor, just the coolest sounding thing. And it's a really, really neat song. And then my other one that I want to shout out is Henka's I Want to Destroy You from Portugal, just because I think that would have been crazy. That song's cool, and we haven't seen a ton of that. Like we had Blind Channel, and they did pretty well. This was a female-fronted metalcore type thing that I thought was a lot of fun. Would have been cool to see that as well. None of those made the Eurovision or this other contest, so...
For me, like, it's difficult for me to point to a specific song. Like I said, there were really only a couple of national finals that I really kind of paid attention to really closely this year. However, I feel like there were more hits in Latvia's final than there were misses.
Yes. Ramtai semifinals was, too.
Yeah, semis just, as well. Yeah, Ramtai was an absolute bop. Ligo by the Ludwig. Romance Isn't Dead by Chris Noah. Tepat Sagiot, I thought was great, even though it was really, really underrated. It made it to the final, which is big enough. Otherwise, the Irish national final, there were a couple of songs that I did like. I thought that Bobby Arlo's Power Play was really, really solid, and it would have been a really good successor to Bambi Thug, but it wasn't to be. Well. Instead, we got Like a Party. Anyway, Derek, what about you? Were there any that caught your ear over the season that you wanted to shine a light on?
Unfortunately, I don't really recall. I stopped listening to that playlist a while back, so I don't.
I hadn't even talked about particularly stand out. I don't remember.
A lot of good stuff in San Remo, but.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of I almost don't consider it a national final.
It's kind of its own
music
thing.
Festival.
Could they have picked the song that won San Remo because it didn't go to Eurovision?
Possibly. Or
is that kind of is that a little against the spirit of the thing? I don't know.
I mean, it didn't go to Eurovision, so I think it could have been legal. Yeah. So yeah, they could have picked Ollie.
Do you get a second chance when you declined the first chance, I guess, is like, I don't know. It probably would have been fine. They didn't pick it, so whatever.
I feel like the artists are very removed from this whole thing.
Oh, yeah. I don't think
unless you're
much...
Kano.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah. Thinking about it, Sam, you mentioned Ramtai. I kind of can't believe they didn't pick that for second chance. I know that the song they picked is good, and it came ever so close to winning. I think that alone is a perfectly fine reason to pick it. At the same time, I'm kind of amazed that like beloved former Eurovision act didn't get the nod here.
I agree, but I don't know if Latvia just kind of defaults to picking the song that is number two in their on their list. Because technically, Heartbeat and Ramtai were tied at 18 points along with Burman Laimi. But when it came to the televote, Heartbeat was higher. So, yeah, they did have actually, looking at the numbers here, Heartbeat beat Ramtai in the televote by an almost 2-1 margin. Yeah, Heartbeat had about 56,500 votes, and Ramtai had about 22,500 votes. So I guess that's what
people
wanted.
That is also surprising. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess. Yeah. And for them. both of which were still behind Ligo, which had the most,
Oops.
That didn't make it. Oh, well.
Well, we picked some of our favorites as well. Who wants to go first?
And we all just picked our top fives, correct?
Yeah. I kept it to five. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just really quickly before we reveal these, my classic question whenever we do this is, did any country screw up?
Yes. Okay, I think I've made it perfectly clear that I believe, as much as I love the nation, Ireland, I love you as a nation, and I know how good you can get. However, choices were made.
And I remember we did a show during national final season where I begged Estonia not to pick Tommy Cash just because I think it's stupid. And I also really wanted Minimal Wind to get the minimal win. And they, but like, and obviously we'll get into this with at least one of my picks for this, in this countdown, but some of these things are just such a foregone conclusion sometimes.
Mm.
Other times you think they are and they're not. Sweden this year was a good example of that. But I think that's a little less common than like, well, of course, Tommy Cash is going to win. He's a huge international star. I in hindsight, I feel kind of silly having any sort of surprise that he did as well as he did at Eurovision. Like as much as I don't like the song or like anything adjacent to it, of course he was gonna do well. People love that dude. it makes sense in hindsight, but man, I wanted Minimal Wind there so bad.
I mean, for so many of us, whether we are fans or we're, you know, podcasting like we are, it's really difficult to kind of separate I love this song from this song should do well versus I dislike this song, therefore the song should do poorly. It's a really difficult thing to kind of separate out and kind of look at a song clinically and remove that emotion. So I absolutely get it, believe me.
Yeah.
Derek, why don't you start us off with your number five out of this year's batch of OGAE Second Chance Contest contestants? What are you giving your 1 point to?
I'm going to go ahead and give a point to Estonia because number one, I hate Tommy Cash. Number two, I thought this song was rather pleasant. On Marlon Kulm.
Kulm. Yeah, I had that as one of my my honorable mentions. It was really good.
I have a couple of honorable mentions I'll mention before my number one, but I just enjoyed it. I didn't think it was anything like really special or, you know, nothing too crazy, but I just, you know, while it was playing, I thought, oh, this is really kind of nice. And yeah, it's always a place for that. Number five.
Well, for me, I had Right Over the Border from Estonia to Latvia for my fifth place.
To Russia? Oh.
Oh.
I found Heartbeat by Amelia really quite sweet and pleasant. And really cute little hook. I thought it was decently performed. I just kept coming back to it and being like, yes, this feels right. This feels comfortable to me and made me happy. So yeah, I'm giving it my fifth place.
I gave my fifth place to, this feels like such a normie pick in some ways. Don't worry, I'm not about to say Sweden. Elvana Gjata Carnival, Albania. That really was a really well done performance package. Song's good, it's fun. It has all my favorite Albanian words like uno, dos, tres. And I mean, it was very much going for the, it was a fuego, but it's a darn good fuego. And I feel she's had a couple phenomenal second place finishes, in that contest. And I hope she kind of breaks through that ceiling one of these times. Cause, Metana is so good. And this was really good. And I guess Metana was the year the contest got canceled, so that is, it is what it is. But yeah, that's my number five.
See, I wish her well, and Carnival was certainly a bop. But if anything got in the way of Zjerm, I would have been flipping tables.
That would have been very frustrated, and we could have prematurely congratulated Zjerm on winning the Second Chance Contest, probably.
Right.
But they got to close the final. They closed the final. Albania.
Zjerm.
Zjerm.
Derek, what's your fourth place on this one?
Number four is going to go to a strange little entry, and I'm going to preface this by saying I acknowledge the fact that we really only have national finals and music videos to go off of in some cases, and a lot of times the national finals aren't as polished depending on where you're coming from. This is not the case with this one. My number four is Luxembourg's Je Danse. I thought this was just really cool, and I feel like it's a lot more modern than the last couple of entries they've sent in that regard, and it's still French, but I thought stylistically it was doing a lot of interesting things. I thought the staging was really, really cool, kind of played with perspective and the way it kind of like mirrored him behind him, and it was always kind of delayed. I thought that was really cool. I thought the dancer choreography was really good. Overall, I thought it was a really solid entry. Again, didn't blow me away, but while I was watching, I was like, oh, this is really impressive, and I'd check out his other stuff or look forward to seeing him again sometime.
So yeah, this is a song that I had forgotten how much I liked until I started listening to it again. And this is where I'm putting Growth by Niall from Ireland. And this is a song that I feel was done such a disservice by the Late Late Show set, which tends to be a bit of an issue with the Irish national finals and the Late Late Show. I feel like this is a song that came in with a really interesting and specific point of view and artistic sensibility that if it had been given the bigger platform and a bigger budget, probably could have been a real crazy good moment. But it felt, you know, it was unmistakably Irish, but it didn't feel cliched at all to me. And I just really felt engaged by it. So yeah, I was glad to have the chance to rediscover this one as I listened to the playlist. Eric, what
about
you?
They had a couple of decent options that felt Irish, which is, it has become such a rarity with the national finals they've done. So obviously, naturally, they picked the girl from Norway. But I, frustrating as that was, I feel like they're starting to get it a little bit. We'll see. We'll see. My number four, this is where I put Estonia, Kulm. It's just a Kulm song to listen to. It's got a really good vibe. Like, I don't know how else to explain. I think Derek summed it up just fine. But this is a really good song. a tough one to sell in a big bombastic song contest, which is unfortunate. But sometimes it works. I mean, we've had songs like that get through.
Mm-hmm. Derek, what's your third place?
I just wanted to say in response to that one, I'm really curious to see how much overlap there is on these lists, because when I wrote Estonia at number five, I was like, no one else is going to pick this one.
Yeah, I could see this going a number of ways.
I think we all pick the same number one. That'd be wild.
Yeah, probably. Very possible.
I doubt it, though.
Yeah, I'll pick Shum somehow.
My number three is Poland, strangely enough. This song is weird. It's really, really weird. And it has that same witchy vibe as the song they sent, which kind of like the big vocals and the kind of darker tone. And I thought, oh, this is just, I just think it's really interesting and strange. And it's the kind of thing where it's like, it doesn't feel mass produced or, you know, studio noted to death. I'm kind of surprised with a lot of these, is sometimes we'll get really interesting, unique stuff to come out of these second chances. And I feel like, you know, we shouldn't forget about that, because I think there's a lot of really good ones in there sometimes. And hopefully they can actually be at the contest someday.
Mm. Well, Derek, you did a lot of the dirty work for me, because I also put Poland at my number three.
What?
I know. Thank you. I mean, for me, this scratched a lot of the similar itches that Shum would have. In that terms of that harmony, that really close, I'm not sure if that's considered white singing, but that really close tonal, it just hit my ear in a way that is both disturbing, but also really, really comforting. It's weird. And I don't know how else to describe it, but that sort of dissonance. But again, Poland doing something that is, again, witchy and native language, which is wonderful. I loved it. So yeah, Lusterka was my number three. Eric, are we going to go 3 for 3 on this?
No.
Aww. You son of a...
I will say about Poland, because it's not on my list, that it, I found it interesting looking at some of the... Misa Eurovisia and some of these others that do these countdowns are like my favorite things, and you could get at least some sort of insights into what people are thinking. And I was always surprised at the amount of difference people would give in their rankings between, in this contest specifically, between Poland and Croatia. Because I feel like those two had such a similar vibe, but it seemed like people would either love one and hate the other. And I thought that was weird, because I just didn't think the songs were that different. That was a motorcycle driving by. Anyway, my number three is from Slovenia, July Jones's New Religion. This is another just cool song to me. And this is a case where I didn't pay super close attention to this national final, because as soon as I heard Clemen was in it, I was like, well, he's going to win. This doesn't feel like an engaging competition. Basically. And that's fine. Clemens great. His song was whatever. But like,
hey. It is what it is.
Yeah. And so I don't know that I'd heard this song, because I shame on me, just kind of didn't bother because it just felt like such a foregone conclusion. More on that in a minute. But this song is super cool. I think in any other year, this would have had a lot more buzz and a lot more people saying like, oh, this could be a... could be a sleeper to qualify for Slovenia, because they don't always do that. And it, I don't want to call it a missed opportunity exactly, because I think Slovenia did send something that was emotionally affecting. At the end of the day, it just, it wasn't enough to get through to the final. But there were, when we got there in that week, I definitely thought like, this is a relatable thing. He might have a shot here.
Yeah.
Didn't work out, just too bad. But that's my pick, Slovenia, number three.
Slovenia.
Yeah, I'm doing the thing for Danny.
It's like a shame. I really thought Clemens had a shot too.
Me
just
too.
Just based on everything.
Me too.
Seemed like he was poised.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, not.
I will. All right, Derek, who's your runner-up for this?
My number two, strangely enough, is only number two, but somehow he is just right. It is Goldilocks and Made of from Finland. I think this song is... this song...
Sorry.
It's a terrible joke. Anyway, I just think this song is really, really cool. I really like what they're doing on stage. I really liked her vocals. It's there's a weird mystery element to it I just found very intriguing. Obviously Erica Bickman was going to take it. I mean, that song was just a powerhouse. Somehow only came 11th, but whatever. I thought this one was really cool. I think this one could have done well at the contest, but it made me intrigued to see what else she's doing. So there's my number two.
And for me, my number two was a country that often leaves me completely underwhelmed. And they had an also-ran in their national final that really just kept staying in my brain throughout the entire season. And that was from Denmark. Oh. Adel the Second's The Unluckiest Boy Alive. It somehow reminded me of the slightly melancholy, slightly petulant 80s new wave songs that I just happen to love. That sort of sense of ironic self-pitying just to get it out of your system. Just say, the whole world is pissing on me and I'm grump. And just to get it out of your system and realize, you know, your perspective on it. You know, I've seen it, interviews with him who was talking about that. And it's just kind of, it's a perspective that you don't normally see in songs that I just found fun in a sort of melancholy way and refreshing. Also the fact that it was completely, you know, self-penned, self-created, that, you know, it's one of his, it was his first single. He'd never done anything like it. He submitted to an open selection and ended up third place in the national final. And it just felt very comfortable to me, but in a fun and yet still sort of, again, angry, petulant, harumph, sort of way. And I mean, who among us has not had that feeling of that sort of self-defeatist sort of, it's the best way I can put it, just, I get like that sometimes. Like, I was feeling crummy yesterday, and like, The Unluckiest Boy Alive was like, all right, this is my fight song. Yeah, this is my fight song. And I love it. So yeah, that is my number two. My 4 points go to Denmark.
Second place is where I put Finland as well. This is it's just a really, really good artistic pop song. And this is another case where, like, as soon as we heard Ikoma, I was like, well, and Finland has surprised us. In fact, they surprised us when Erica Vickman competed last.
You're right.
Surprised us a lot. They picked that dude instead of Chichi Alina. So I guess it wasn't quite a foregone conclusion. And I thought this song was very good. And if there was something that was going to deny Erica Vickman again, it was going to be this. But it wasn't anyone else's year. Mm. It just wasn't. That's the way these things go. And but this song is just really well crafted. The stage performance was really cool and captivating. And I hope we see Goldilocks again and soon. There are a few Finnish acts that I'd really like to see get their shot. Goldilocks is definitely one of them. Mm. You said Ikoma finished 11th?
Yeah.
That's
ye gads. Ye gads.
Well, and I mean, I'm not going to dive too far into this, but when circumstances are whatever they are that affect how the televote plays out, when you have a song like this that's going to be very televote dependent for a good result, like something is just going to drastically underperform. And in this case, it was this. There were a few.
There were a few.
I was kind of shocked when you said that. Like, I was there. I intellectually, I know these things. It had a really good spot. It was ended the first half of the final, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It was very closely after JJ, which probably doesn't help. But that's amazing. 11th place for what was truly a showstopper of a thing. I know some people weren't going to get it, but you don't need everyone to get it.
Nope.
I mean, it was a song that people predicted would be top five easy.
Yeah. Yep.
And for it to not even come top 10 was a shock.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's really too bad. Will she do better than 11th in the ESC 250?
Yeah.
Ooh, I hope. I think.
It's a lot of competition.
There is.
I feel like Erica Vickman has a lot of sway in the fan community with Cicciolina, after all.
Yeah, that is true. So. That is true. All right. Our number ones. Our numbers one.
Take us home, Derek. What do you got?
Before I say my number one, just a couple of honorable mentions that I quite enjoyed. I actually really liked Bess's Tiki. I think mostly because I saw the music video first and I thought it was hilarious. And I also completely forgot that she sang Titan last year.
Believe it or not, it's the same person. Familiar. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't sound anything like it. Other honorable mention, Amelia. I thought the song, I think she is really interesting. I didn't like the song that much, but while listening to it, I was like, I want to know what else she's done. I want to hear her other music. So I couldn't put her on the list, but I'm like, I did look her up on Spotify, so I'll see what else she's been up to. But my number one is, without any applause, is actually Grease.
All right.
By Barbs. I just thought this was really cool. And I understand this is not the best song to send this year, given the competition, but I thought this was a really solid entry. Really good vocals, really kind of beautiful in its own way. It has that sort of a classic Greek kind of feel to it, but also a little touches of modern. Just a really cool song. I really enjoyed this one. I'm just glad I discovered it through this second chance.
I had Grease as like my number six. It was definitely one of my favorites too. I really liked it a lot, and I was miffed because at least for an American listener, it wasn't available on Spotify, so I had to kind of like search it out. But Sirens I thought was great. I also had Kulm from Estonia as an honorable mention, and Lithuania Drobe, which I like to think of as almost like Looktelk 2.0, all up there as well. So yeah, those are my honorable mentions, but my number one this year is where I put Finland. This is where I put Made of.
Goldilocks. I had a feeling.
Absolutely smashed it. I listened to it again and I could not help but just dance around my office. Fortunately, I had the windows closed. It's it is so good and just sassy and angry in the best way. And loved it. Absolutely loved it. What else could I say that hasn't already been said? So, Eric, what's your number one?
My number one, first, a few honorable mentions, particularly some things people, I don't think any of us gave points to. Josh from Portugal, really, really cool staging. Good song. I thought Désolé by Mentissa from Belgium was is pretty darn good tune. La Cure per me from, yeah, it is, yeah. For Georgia from Italy, like just pure class. As you would expect from something there, like there's a lot of good stuff to to pick from. Mm. But my number one, I don't think we've talked about it at all. I picked my C from Ukraine.
That was up there for me too, yeah.
This is the, I am really enjoying the like second or third place finisher at Vidbeer to future Vidbeer winner pipeline that we've had going. And I hope that it can, I hope that it continues with this because this is clearly a very, very talented and exciting band to see perform. And this is the song I liked the most. I don't, what else am I supposed to say? I it's just really good. They, like, if you like Zifferblatt, you'll like this as well. And knowing the way these things go, we'll probably hear from them again. So, so that's,
I hope so.
That's, I hope. Yeah. Molody from Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Good luck to them, at Eurovision next year. I assume.
Yeah.
Cause that's the way that's how this goes. Funny that like, the exception to that is Kalush Orchestra, who did not win their national final and then went on to win the whole thing. Imagine. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So Sam, who I think this is a runaway for Goldilocks here.
It is. It is a bit of a runaway. I also feel like I need to apologize just because I know that we have friends and listeners who were probably absolutely stomping for Heaven Sent from Malta. So my apologies, yeah. My apologies to them. But just you are seen. I get it. Anyway, yes. We'll just go over who got what. Albania and Latvia with 1 point apiece, so Heartbeat and Carnival, respectively. Ireland and Luxembourg, 2 points apiece with Growth and Jadance. 3 points go to both Slovenia, July Jones, and Estonia's Kulm. 4 points, Adele II, The Unluckiest Boy Alive. I know it's just me, but yeah.
Well, so were the next two.
Yeah, seriously. 5 points apiece going to Barbs from Greece with Sirens and Molody and
really
My
good.
Sea with Ukraine.
Really
both
good.
Great songs. 6 points apiece, or 6 points, I should say, going to Poland as our runner-up this year with Lusterka by Swoda and Nichos. But points from all three of us, 13 overall, more than double the second place. Goldilocks Made Of from Finland.
Ooh, congratulations.
So how do we think she's going to actually do when you shuffle all of the OGAE voters together? Those who absolutely seem to have a very soft and squishy spot in their heart for Swedish entries.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this one is a really Swedish entry. Mm-hmm. Like it didn't make my list. I acknowledge this is exactly the sort of thing they like.
Yeah.
Like it's pristine. I honestly gave some consideration to Norway as well. It's because I thought that one was a little more interesting, and in its execution and songwriting and stuff like that, really going for like a successor to Queen of Kings, sort of a vibe to it, and I thought was really well done.
The Norwegian one, it reminded me a lot of Feed You My Love too.
Yep.
Mm.
Like it had that just
a cool song,
a lot of attitude. Mm-hmm. Not a style.
Yeah.
But the vocal.
Very Norwegian,
just,
strangely. Yeah.
Yeah. Way, way, way up. I'm pointing upward,
really cool.
As you can hear. yeah. This is a pretty good rundown. This is a pretty good lineup, I think. I think Goldilocks actually has a pretty good shot to win this.
I
think they could end up just picking Sweden again. I think they could end up picking...
You can never count Italy out.
Nope. No, you cannot. I think one of those Nordic countries is a decent bet though.
Yeah, very likely. All right, but you at home, what do you think? What were your favorites from this year's crop of OGAE Second Chance contestants? Let us know. Find us on social media, 12pointsUSA. Email us directly, 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. Just going to shout out again the folks over at the Eurovision Pod Crawl. Give them all a listen. ESC Insight, Wind Machine, Euro What, Neil Points. Again, it'll be us next week. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. I don't care. Anyway, you know how to find us. We love and appreciate you so, so much. Danny will be back with us at our next episode, so hope you as well will be able to join us. But until then, everybody, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
And I've been Eric.
And America.
Stop listening now.
one of them is currently in my fridge. So it's not that.